Hey, y'all. Let's take a look today at Luke chapter 20, a very short moment, right after Jesus has given his sort of rebuke to the Sadducees for their silly attempt to catch him in a trap about the resurrection. That scene ended in verse 40 with the Scripture saying that they no longer dare to ask him any questions. Well, Jesus doesn't let them off the hook. He goes on the offensive, as it were, and he's going to go on the offensive pretty intensely. And again, if you're paying attention to this whole scene, the triumphal entry, but even before that, all of the movement toward Jerusalem and the way Jesus is challenging the religious authorities, it's no wonder that they wanted to crucify him, because he was making them look foolish, like they did not understand the scriptures, that they did not understand the fundamental teachings of the Bible. And so it makes sense why they wanted to crucify him. So this is starting in verse 41. But he said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' David thus calls him Lord, so how is he his son?" Now, this goes back to the tradition and the understanding that God made a promise to David that one of his heirs would sit on the throne of Israel forever. And so this got gathered up into an understanding that in one day God would send a chosen one like David, a man after his own heart, that would fulfill all the promises to David and to Moses and many others. And so there is an expectation, right expectation in a sense, that the Messiah would be a descendant of David, a son of David, not his immediate son, but somewhere on down the line. Now, the David theme has been gathering through Luke. We could just note a few examples. Going back to the blind man in Jericho, he said, "Son of David, had mercy on me." So he seemed to recognize that this was a son of David, that probably he was the Messiah. But then when Jesus comes into Jerusalem and comes over the curve or the rounding the top of the Mount of Olives to look down on Jerusalem, and he begins to cry, he begins to weep over the city, that should remind us of David being driven out of the city, crying, weeping, as his own son, Absalom, is trying to kill him and trying to overtake his reign. So this theme of David is all throughout. But the psalm that Jesus quotes here is Psalm 110. And in it, if I could maybe give a paraphrase, it says that Yahweh, that's the first Lord, says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The speaker is David. So David is saying, Yahweh, God, says to my Lord, well, my goodness, who is David's Lord? Not many fathers will call their son Lord. But this is one of those cases in which that's exactly what happens. David will, and as it were, in the spirit, saw ahead of time that his son would be his Lord, his master. Of course, this is because Jesus is from David's descent by the body, but he is the divine son by the Holy Spirit, and he takes on human nature to himself and unites human nature to himself so he can redeem it. But Jesus is here trying to help them understand, similar to what he did in the interchange with the Sadducees about the resurrection. They thought the resurrection was just, oh, more life just like it is now. Jesus says, no, it's very different. And the Messiah that is to come, which is myself, is not what you're expecting. It's not just a descendant, not just a human, but he is the Word of God, who has taken on human nature to himself to redeem it. So may we call him Lord. May we call Jesus the one who is the descendant of David, but who is also the divine word of the Father and unites humanity and God in himself to redeem us. May we trust in him and follow him and call him Lord. Amen.